So we're continuing a series on making the making of a disciple, and we're looking at the life of Peter, and this has been our Lenten series starting the Sunday, I believe, before Ash Wednesday even. And so we've looked at Peter, and Peter is this character in the Bible that we as human beings can really connect with because he has foot and mouth disease, right, where he's constantly finding his foot in his mouth, and Jesus is reminding him of that. But we also see that Peter just has this desire to know Jesus, to be his disciple, to get as much as he can, you know, almost to be the best student. That's Peter, right? Yes. And so we've looked at his life, and we are learning lessons about Peter and his journey as a disciple and how we also can become disciples. About a week or two ago, we looked at the text where Jesus is standing in front of his disciples, and he asked them, who do people say I am? And then he says, who do you say I am? And Peter, of course, this is his moment to be that best student, right? Peter says, you're the Christ, the Messiah. And Jesus says, right, correct answer. Only God could have told you this. And then, as I mentioned earlier, the foot and mouth disease that Peter seems to sometimes have just a few verses later, right? Jesus says, and I'm going to have to go and I'm going to die. And Peter says, never, Lord, this will not happen. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, right? And so Peter kind of is on this roller coaster of trying to be a disciple. He's trying to figure things out. And so for our text this morning, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. And the story that I just told you about where Peter answered, you are the Messiah. According to the text, this is about 1 week before where we pick up this morning. So kind of in your mind, kind of have that as a preface. About a week before where we are this morning in the text, Peter got the right answer and then got rebuked by Jesus, all in one fell swoop. So Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and the two brothers, James and John, and led them up a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed so that his face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter exclaimed, Lord, it's wonderful for us to be here. If you want, I'll make three shelters or memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But even as Peter was speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. Listen to him. The disciples were terrified, and they fell down on the ground. Then Jesus came over and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. And when they looked up, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they saw only Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. So this morning, I don't want to really dive into the transfiguration. My goal is not to dive into us understanding what's happening at the transfiguration. Instead, I want to look at Peter, this disciple, this fisher that Jesus calls to come follow him. I want to look at how Peter responds to this moment, right? How he responds to this experience. Yes. And so it doesn't take much to realize that Peter, James, and John are on top of the mountain, and they have a God moment, right? They have an experience. I mean, they describe it in detail. Jesus was like glowing. He turns white, this brilliant white, and he is glowing. And so I think this morning one thing that we can learn about Peter's life is that as he was a disciple, as he journeyed with Christ, he had these experiences, right? In fact, that's our theme this morning of making a disciple is the experiences that we have along the way. How do we handle the experiences? Now, we've all had these moments in our life where something happens, and, you know, you just can't explain it, right? You just, all you can really say is it just had to be God, right? I mean, it's not necessarily that you're going to see, you know, the heavens open up in a bright light, but you know, maybe something just happens, and you know that it's God. Maybe you didn't realize it until you looked back at it. How many of you had that happen before? Like, you know, you look back and you realize, oh my Lord, God was opening up doors left and right. I mean, I was experiencing God all the time. And so we have these moments where we experience God. I've shared with you on numerous occasions of how I went through what felt like a spiritual drought when I went through college, and I wasn't necessarily living the way that I should live, and even came out of college and went into the ministry and was working as a children's pastor for over a year, and I just I was going through, like, I guess, this silent season, my brother and I were hiking in Glacier National Park, and we had a God moment. It's very profound. It's impacted my life. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, right? He tells about how his life kind of it took a new direction when on this particular day he's walking and he hears the choir singing at St. Peter's, and then he goes to Aldersgate. And all he can say is that he felt his heart strangely warmed, right? He didn't see Jesus illuminated in the sky bright. He felt his heart strangely warmed. And so what I want us to see this morning is that part of the journey of becoming a disciple is, and I don't think any Christian goes through this life exempt from having God experiences. I think sometimes our defining of them is so, supernatural. So, like, we're walking around expecting, you know, to see the miraculous. But God is very intentional about giving us opportunities to experience Him. We know this is true of Peter in this passage, right? It says that Jesus took them on top of the mountain. Jesus knew what was about to happen. He took them on top of the mountain to experience God. And so as we journey in this life, as we become His disciples, as we become followers of Christ, it's important that we recognize the experiences. Be aware. Be keen. Don't blame it on karma or whatever else the world may define it as. Recognize those moments where God has impacted your life, has made Himself known, has caused your heart to be warmed, as John Wesley described it. But as we have learned with Peter, there is always kind of the foot-mouth disease, as I mentioned earlier. And so Peter also shows us sometimes what we do in these moments. And Peter displays this eagerness to comprehend, right? He's coming off the high of getting the right answer. I'm the disciple who knew you were the Messiah. You know, he's kind of riding this high of maybe comprehension and understanding. And so here he is at the transfiguration of Christ, something that even today we just don't wrap our minds around it. You know, we don't really understand what's happening in this moment. And Peter blurts out, right? He's like, this is really awesome. I think we need to build some tabernacles. I don't know. We don't know exactly where Peter's thought was. Maybe Peter thought that on top of this mountain, God and Moses and Elijah, Jesus, Moses and Elijah were just going to be there like in the Old Testament, and this will be a new holy place or something. But Peter blurts out, right? He gets eagerness. He's trying to wrap his mind around the experience instead of experiencing the experience. How many of you have ever experienced that in your life or been through that where something is happening and you are just like 100% in your head, right? You're trying to figure this thing out. You got the calculator out, you know, this doesn't make sense. You're looking on Google. What is happening in this moment? And so that's what Peter does, the transfiguration. Jesus, he glows, he lights up, and there's Moses and Elijah, and Peter just tries to figure it out, right? He tries to be like he was 1 week earlier. He's trying to have the right answer. He's trying to impress the teacher, right? He wants to respond in a way that is going to impress the teacher. But what happens here, I find it very interesting. The Bible pretty much says, and then God interrupts Peter, right? It's like, you're not going to take the mic here, Peter. This is my show here. This is what I'm doing. And so God interrupts Peter, and God speaks, and it's just, theologically, it seems so simple what God says, but it's also so significant. This is my son. So he validates who Jesus is, who Peter was able to give the right answer about, who brings me great joy. And I love the last thing that God says here. Listen to him. This is powerful. This is significant, because what God does in this moment is, yes, there is a God moment. Yes, Peter is experiencing something. He is experiencing the presence of God. But God is refocusing Peter on what is important, right? It's not the moment. It's not this experience that is going to define Peter's life. This is, you're experiencing some of me, Peter, but listen to my son. This is the main point of God's sermon at the Transfiguration, right? Listen to him. Listen to Jesus, my son, who brings me great joy. Don't climb up this mountain every year to revisit the Transfiguration, right? Don't worship the Transfiguration. Don't obsess over this experience. Instead, get the main point. The main point is, this is my son, Jesus. Listen to him. We know that Peter is just so eager. In fact, it's interesting, in Mark chapter 9, this is how it reads, telling the same story. Peter blurts out because he didn't really know what else to say. And he was terrified, right? So Peter couldn't really, he was uncomfortable in the silence, right? He was uncomfortable not being a part of the conversation. He was uncomfortable not, you know, being the student, you know, just getting called on. So he's uncomfortable with this moment. He was terrified, and so he blurts out. And he almost misses the point. Peter wants to make it about that moment, right? And God's wanting to teach Peter through that moment. Sometimes we can become so guilty of this in our lives. We can look at the church, and rabbit trails we have gone down over the years as the church as a whole, not necessarily just one denomination, but they have been trying to wrap our heads around experiences and encounters that we've had with God. And so Peter's trying to make sense of this. He uses his Old Testament theology, right? Peter goes Old Testament here, right? We're going to build some tabernacles, and we're going to, you know, we're going to house Jesus, Moses, and Elijah on top of this mountain. This is the right thing to do, right? This is how the presence of God has, it's in the tabernacle, right? And this is the presence of God. Peter got it, kind of. He got it that this was the presence of God, but he missed the main point. And so this morning, my encouragement for us is, when we experience God in an undeniable way, may we not get caught up in trying to comprehend and systematically understand it, but may we allow it to teach us something about the teacher, right? Something about God, something about Jesus. And that leads us kind of to the last words that Jesus said, and God said to those that were there. He said, listen to him. Listen to the teacher. Listen to what Jesus has to say. Now, for Peter as a disciple, and for us as disciples, we already Whether we want to admit it or not, a lot of times, I know I'm extremely guilty of trying to map all this out in my head, right? I'm trying to figure out where we're going, what's happening next, you know, what's going to happen next. So that's what Peter's doing in this moment, and he's trying to figure out what's next. And then if you know anything about Peter and you know anything about the context at that time, they're thinking that Jesus is going to be this leader, this militant leader maybe even, who leads the Jewish people in kind of a against the Roman Empire, right? That he's gonna lead them out of this bondage that they have been in. A second Moses almost is what they're looking for in Jesus. And so God says, listen to Jesus, right? Why is it important to listen to Jesus, Peter? Because Jesus is telling you very plainly, that's not what I'm here to do, right? He's told him now, a week earlier, I got to go to Jerusalem to die. And then the Bible says he constantly talked about that from that point on. So God uses this moment to say, Son of God, listen to him. It's important that we heed what God is saying here, because as disciples, I'm just going to speak from my own experience. I like to take all that I have at my disposal, right? Kind of, you could take the experience, you could take the Bible, you know, as Methodists, we could take the tradition, the reason, the scripture, and the experiences. We take those and we begin in our mind to try to figure it out. Figure out what's next. How is this going to play out? And too often, we miss just the simple, I guess, the red letters in the Gospels, right? We miss what Jesus is saying. We can't listen to him because we're doing what we feel is good work, right? We're doing the Christian thing to do here. We're trying to figure this thing out. And maybe sometimes God is not really concerned with us figuring it out, but he's more concerned with us just simply listening to what he's telling us to do. So God tells Peter, listen to Jesus. And we know Peter's not the only one there. So he speaks to James and John as well in that moment, and they're terrified. They fall on the ground, right? It's kind of reminiscent of Peter walking on the water, right? Peter's a disciple that is bold in his faith, right? In the presence of God, in the presence of Jesus, you know, illuminating, he starts talking, right? And so in the moment of Jesus walking on the water, he jumps out of the boat. So Peter is not one that's kind of not, I mean, he's strong in his faith. He's strong in his devotion. We're not knocking him on that. It's just maybe sometimes he's not strong on the follow-through. Maybe he's not really able to hear what's being said because he's already thinking about his response, right? How many of you ever heard that? To truly listen, you can't be thinking about what you're going to say next. You have to, you know, process what's being said. So Peter is sometimes guilty of trying to figure out what he's going to respond before he's even finished hearing what is being said. And so Peter responds to this experience with eagerness. He interrupts the moment. God then takes back control of the moment. He gives this instruction to the three disciples to listen to Jesus. I think it's because they were all about following him. They were all, you know, they were all ready to die for him. They were ready for this thing to be a showdown, right? They were willing to die, but they weren't listening, right? Because Jesus was telling them, this is about something else. I wonder how guilty we are of that, 2019 in America, of having a preconceived idea of what this whole Christian thing is about, what church is about, what it is that we do and we don't do, and maybe God is saying, why don't you go back and listen to what Jesus has to say When it comes to the world that when we turn on the news, our stomachs turn and we're upset and we're angry and maybe we should go to Jesus and see what he says about a broken world and how we respond. So I feel this morning that as we journey as disciples, as we are becoming disciples of Christ, as we process the experiences, it's very important that we listen to the teacher. You see, I think this morning that the experience is not the point, right? The experience reveals something about God's nature and character. The experience is a teachable moment for us. These God moments that we have in our life, they're not the point. The point is the Father. The point is the source, the teacher. They are revealing something about the teacher. In this particular moment, some would argue that Jesus is revealing his glory to them. He's making his glory known. He's validating that he is who Peter said he was and who he is saying that he is. But ultimately, we know that God says, listen to him. Now, what do we do with all of this? What do we do with the experiences and trying to learn about God as a result of them? I believe that ultimately, everything that we go through, right? Everything, even if they're God moments or they're foot and mouth moments where we fail miserably, everything is kind of a process, right? The series title is Making of a Disciple. So it's a process. And so I believe this morning that we have the experiences. God gives us these experiences to reveal something about him that will later influence our story, our testimony. I want us to look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 19. In 2 Peter, Peter says this, "For we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes when he received honor and glory from God the Father. The voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, 'This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy.' We ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets." The transfiguration, this moment that Peter had, went on to shape his story, right? It went on to shape his testimony. When Peter is dealing with whether or not Jesus is who he said he was, Peter's able to say, you know what? I'm going to stand here as a witness and tell you that Jesus is who he said he is, because he revealed himself to me. How many of you have been speaking to someone who's going through a difficult situation, and all you can really tell them is, look, I can tell you that God's going to get you through it because he got me through it, right? I remember the time where all I could do was say, it's God. There's no other explanation. And so then you're able to encourage that person, right? You're able to shape your story based on the experiences that God allows us to have. You see, as a disciple, it becomes less about the highs and lows and more about the shaping and molding. Peter is able to work this experience, this moment where God reveals himself, this moment where he put his foot in his mouth, this all of this that took place, Peter works it into arguing for who Jesus said he is, because he has experienced who Jesus said that he is. For me, in that moment where I went through a period of silence for many years, it felt like, and it felt like a spiritual drought. The moment where I felt the presence of God fall as I got on that mountain, that's not, you know, I don't make a pilgrimage out to Montana every year and revisit that spot. But what God taught me through that moment was that he never left my side anyway. Just because it seemed like it was silence and I thought, where are you, God? He taught me that he was always there. Because I haven't mentioned this morning, but I found myself constantly going to the altar and like, you know, just wanting, you know, I don't know, God, let me cry, do something. I just want to feel you, God. And it was nothing. And I grew up in the church my whole life, and so I thought the answer was doing something, right? I thought the answer was going and redoing something that I'd done before. And what God taught me was, through that experience, is, you know, just keep walking, keep going, keep following me, and I'm always there every step of the way. So in the most unexpected moment, in the most unexpected place, I had a God moment. I had experience, and it has shaped my life. It has helped me walk through so many things where, let me just tell you guys, there seems to be sometimes more silent days than days where Jesus is brightly illuminated before us. And the thing is figuring out, how do we keep walking, trusting that he's right there with us. And who knows, maybe Jesus had them come up on the mountain so they would have that assurance. We know later in 2 Peter that he recognizes that. He mentions it and speaks to it. For John Wesley, as we mentioned, his heart being strangely warmed on that day, if you look at the life of Wesley, he was all in his head, right? He's trying to figure this out. In fact, he even came to America and failed miserably. He failed miserably as a pastor. In fact, they had charges against him. He had to sneak out on a boat because people that he didn't like, he was refusing to give them communion and stuff. He was all in his head, right? He was doing all the right stuff. He had learned so much. He was this fellow and at the academy, and he was missing the point, though. And so we learn from Wesley's life that after he has this God moment, it's not something that he really builds a big theology around or talks about all the time. We know it happened. But we can look at his life and see from that point on, he began focusing on a relationship with God, right? He began focusing on loving God and the grace of God. And so how he understood being a disciple radically changed when he allowed an experience to shape him, right? He didn't worship the experience. He didn't make the experience the main point. He allowed it to be a teachable moment. I think that's powerful for us to understand, because too often in our world, we can really hunger and thirst for those experiences, right? We can chase after the crusades where people are being healed, and, you know, however you want to look at it, we can chase the miracles, we can chase the manifestations, we can go to churches where they claim to have prophecies every Sunday because we're chasing the experiences. But I don't think that's what being a disciple is. I think being a disciple is following Jesus, encountering the experiences, letting the experience teach you something more about Jesus. And so we have to be careful that in our pursuit of following Christ, our pursuit of being good Christians, that we don't get caught up in chasing the experiences, worshiping the experiences, relying on the experiences, right? If we rely on the experience, then what are we going to do when it's over? What are we going to do? How are we going to process life? I believe that Jesus very much was a teacher in this way. He taught his disciples by allowing them to experience something and then allowing them to learn something as a result of that. If you look at Matthew 13 and 15, we have two stories where Jesus feeds multitudes. One time it's 5,000, one time it's 4,000. Then in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus sits the disciples down And it just so happened that they forgot to bring some lunch, right? And so Jesus starts talking to them about the yeast of the Pharisees, right? Watch out for the yeast. And so the disciples start arguing with each other. They start blaming each other. Who forgot the bread? Jesus is mad because we don't have the bread. He's talking about yeast. And this is what Jesus says. Why are you arguing with each other about having no bread? Don't you understand even yet? Don't you remember the 5,000 I fed with 5 loaves and the baskets of leftovers you picked up? Or the 4,000 I fed with 7 loaves and the large baskets of leftovers you picked up? Why can't you understand that I'm not talking about bread? Now, that little segment is packed full of some stuff right there, right? He's drawing their attention to an experience. Don't you remember the experience? Now, here's what I want you to learn from the experience, right? It's not about bread. So he's teaching them from the experience. In fact, he references the fact that they were involved in the experience. Didn't you pick up the baskets of bread? How have you forgotten the experience? So we know that Jesus taught from experience. He expected his disciples to learn from the experiences. And I believe that here we are, 2019, you can be a testament to your life of the God moments that you've had. And we can know that God still teaches us through experiencing him. He still teaches us through those God moments. I don't know, maybe you have witnessed a miracle. Maybe you have seen something that was just like an angel or something. There are different experiences, right? 3 of the disciples go on the mountaintop while the rest of them are left to try to handle a demon-possessed person. So, I mean, you've got this thing going on here in Scripture where, you know, why did these 3 get this experience and not the others? Why did you get to experience that miracle and I didn't? You know what that language does? That focuses on the experience. We need to focus on the teacher. As we close this morning, I believe that our challenge as becoming disciples is to look for those God experiences that God makes available to us. Allow yourself to truly just experience it without having to immediately comprehend and understand and write a theology about it. Don't obsess over that moment. Instead, allow it to shape you and reveal to you something about God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, would you stand for our closing hymn?